Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans in chapter 8. Now that turns people on right there. They say, oh yeah, one of the great chapters in the Bible, and it certainly is. And we're obviously not going to exhaust Romans in one day. We couldn't do it in 1 week. We can't do it in 1 year. We can't do it in one life. But we're going to look at a specific passage today. And really, I just want to cover one basic theme. And that is the doctrine of adoption. And we're not going to cover all there is to that, but we're going to cover some of the necessities and some of the necessary consequences of being adopted. You know, when you're adopted into a family, you take on the family characteristics. If they're going to church at a certain time and you're a little child and you've been adopted, well, you're going with them, aren't you? If they're going to the ice cream shop, you're going with them. If they buy certain clothes for you, you wear those clothes, right? Like my wife and I, you know, she likes us to kind of wear the same sorts of things. And so here we are, you know, we have the dark blue and the light blue because, you know, this is just kind of the way we do it. Now, some folks do that, some folks don't. But, right, when you are adopted into a family, you start taking on the family characteristics. Now, the point is that adoption is the gospel because we're adopted into the family of God. We'll read our scriptures here in just a moment. But I want to get the point across to you that in the natural realm, even though we start taking on the family characteristics, we don't have a new nature, but in Christ we have a new nature. And so how much, therefore, ought we to be changing? And if we aren't, hello. So this should be a positive message, but it's also a convicting message. And I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would bring conviction where it needs to be and comfort where it needs to be. It's both. That's why it says, with fear and trembling. Because it is God who works in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. So if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, we're in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 12 through verse 19. And we'll call this message, "The Only Option is Adoption." So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed in us. For even the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Father, burn this into our hearts today. Cry, Abba, Father, that we may cry back to you, Abba, Father. My beloved, I am his and he is mine. Be with us now. Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now, we spoke last week about Pentecost, about how the Spirit of God came down in a new way, and that is what unites us. The Spirit of God is poured out on all believers. All believers. It says in this very text that we read just a few verses before, in verses 9 through 11, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are none of His. But the Bible says that we have all been baptized by one Spirit into one body, and all have been made to drink of one Spirit. God in Christ has broken down the wall between Jew and Gentile, and all racial, gender, and age, and social barriers to salvation. There was really only one barrier to salvation, and Christ knocked down that wall of sin. All who believe in Jesus Christ are one by the Spirit of God, one with Christ and one with each other. I've got a lot of verses that I'll just sort of be referring to today, but I won't mention them necessarily or read them, but I'll have a paper copy of this if you want it afterwards, or you'll find it on Sermon Audio or on the website. The point is this not unity is not something to achieve, it's something to receive, something to be recognized. Just kind of covering a little bit of last week. Pentecost is cause for celebration. It's the reason we can have missions. All those who trust in Jesus Christ are given the Spirit of God, adopted into His family. The only real wall, again, between God and men was sin. And in Jesus Christ, that final wall is broken down. All Christians are partakers of the Holy Spirit. That is the big picture of Pentecost. Now, people say, okay, I understand that factually. But what about practically? How do I know? Because a lot of people can say in their head, yeah, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Oh, yeah, I know that I'm trusting in Him. And then, how do you know for yourself? The Bible says to examine ourselves. How, in what light? You know, not all people are children of God. Did you know that? Jesus told the Pharisees they were of their father, the devil. You're on one side or you're on the other. One jersey or on the other. But how can you say you're on the right team when you're carrying the ball for the other? And you just put the jersey on and off when you feel like it. You're not a child of God just by having godly parents, although that helps, going to church, although that's good, taking communion, although that's right. No, you have to be adopted into the family of God. Let's read another scripture. We're going to go back and forth a little bit from Galatians chapter 4. And I'll go ahead and read it because I put my little marker in here. Verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, we've done many sermons on these verses, by the way, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, to buy back those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir through God. Seems very like the text we just read, does it not? We're called children of disobedience before we're called children of light. We're called out of the darkness into the light. Not just I'm doing my own thing, you're in darkness. You're either in darkness or the light. We're born into the kingdom of men, but we must be born again into the kingdom of God. And while I'm in Galatians, I'll read chapter 3, verse 26. It says, For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, in thinking of this word adoption, we think of today's manner of adoption, and we think of foster care, and we think of all these good things, and believe me, that's your option, by the way. Abortion is not the option. Adoption is the option. I mean, give me a break. How about the golden rule? Okay? But the adopted son, back in biblical times, was adopted permanently. Stay with us, please, because we're going to make some application that I don't want you to miss. But I want to tell you about what adoption meant back then. When Jesus Paul is describing this adoption process, he's trying to make a parallel that he can't really equate it exactly, but they got the message. When someone was adopted, they were adopted permanently. Couldn't be adopted today and disinherited tomorrow. He was secure, and he immediately had all the rights of the new family. The adopted son completely lost all his rights of the old family. He was a new person. Old debts and obligations connected with his former family were canceled out as if they never existed. When we came to Christ, this is what happened to us. We were taken out of Adam, out of the law, out of the sin, and placed into Jesus. We have a new Father. Amen? Now I'm just going to look at some other verses here, just very quickly, because I just want to get you the idea of this adoption. Because when we're adopted, let me tell you, we're secure. When you're born again, you don't get unborn again. When you're justified, declared righteous by God, He's not going to then declare you unrighteous. What do you do, get unborn again? Declared unrighteous, even though you were unrighteous, and He declared you righteous based on Jesus? When you're adopted, you're in. It's secure. It's eternal. The problem is that many think they are, and they are not. That is where the problem comes in. And so it's not like you really lost your salvation. It's that you never had it. Because believe me, it's not your salvation anyway. It's God's. He's the one that purchases, not you. Right? He purchases you. He does that. He sends the Spirit and says, mine! And then when we're in bad trouble and things like that, that's what this text is teaching us. We say, mine. We know we're in the family. We know we have the rights. We know we have the privileges. But some people are presuming on those things. Not that we don't have them, but certain people don't have them. And so they go around acting like, thinking they're Christians, and they live like the devil. And adoption means more than just God gets you and puts you in his family. You start living in the house, wearing the clothes, saying the sayings, eating at the right time, all this kind of thing. You see where I'm going? I hope so. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, what a great, this is one long sentence, by the way, from verse 3 to about verse 12. Now, let me just read verse 5. It says, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Then it goes on and describes all these wonderful things. What is one of those wonderful things? Back in Romans 8:23, it says, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we await the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So we are adopted into the family, but then there's the full redemption, which means a glorified body. You see, it's going to be a brand new heavens and a brand new earth wherein dwells righteousness, and you'll have a new body, a brand new body. A glorified body like Jesus' body. Are you with me? We were more than taken out of the slavery of sin. We're redeemed from the law. We're in right standing with God. We're saved from wrath. We're made part of God's family. A child of God is predestined to live for Jesus and to live with him in heaven someday for eternity. Now you're in time. You're in time. But eventually you're not going to be subject to the ravages of time. That's going to be the day of fullness. That's when we get our full adoption. It's like you're adopted in biblical times, and you become part of the family. And then when daddy dies, you get the inheritance, right? It's that type of thing. You're secure. Once you're adopted into the family of God, you will have that inheritance. You are an heir, but there's some markers here that tell us whether we are or not. That's what I want to get to. Now, in Galatians 4:6, are you listening? Everybody listening? Somebody say amen. Amen. In Galatians 4:6, it says, the Spirit cries, Abba, Father, right? He said he sent the Spirit of his sons crying into our heart, Abba, Father, right? But in Romans 8:15, it says, we cry, Abba, Father. Did you notice that? Did you have to flip over there and look at it again? Let's look at it again. And because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. But in Romans 8:15, it says that we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Hello. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So what is this deal? What is this? Is there a difference here? Yes. This is about having a conscious sonship. The Spirit delivers the adoption, and we say we are adopted. The Spirit tells us that God is our Father, and then we cry out that God is our Father. This is how the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. It says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Spirit helps us identify with Christ at our lowest points. Because if you look at verse 13 and then look at 14, it says, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live according to the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. And then it says 4. So that means it's connected. Somebody. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we think, okay, led by the Spirit. Turn left at the light. You know, spooky. No, 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 no. Let me explain something. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but let me explain something to you about all this stuff. We talk about filled with the Spirit and walking by the Spirit or praying in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit. Let me give you an example here. How many people like the Florida Gators? Okay, a few. How many people like Florida State? Okay, a few people. Good. I'm glad we didn't yell and shout. The point is if we like Florida, what are we doing? We know their schedule. We have their colors. We know who they're playing. You know, depending on your level of intimacy with the genre, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, we could do something else. We have this person for president and this person for president, right? And the one we're following, their Twitter, right? We are at their corporate headquarters doing work for them or talking to people about them. People ask us who we are following in this next election. We say who it is, right? And let's just go even a little further here. Let's say we have Dan Dickinson and Paul Dickinson. Now, If I'm choosing between one or the other, well, I'm choosing Dan. Well, I'm going to be having dinner with Dan, taking Dan out shopping. If you're a girl, you know what I mean. You're going to be thinking about Dan, what's going on in Dan's life. Conversely, if you're following Paul, right, you're going to be knowing what Paul is doing, maybe going to the movies with Paul. Who are you following? Right? Now, if Dan's going this way and you're with Dan, you are walking with Dan. He is leading you. If Jesus is leading you, that's the way that he's going. What is Jesus doing? That's what you're doing. And so if I'm, you know, about Dan and I know his birthday and I, you know, bought him a shirt and when he wears this type of cologne, I wear this kind of cologne like it's a fraternity or something like that, who am I filled with? I'm filled with Dan, obviously, not with Paul, right? You say you're doing it your own way. Your heart is empty. But let me tell you something. An empty heart does not stay empty long. It is filled with something. It just depends on what it is. And if it's just my own ways, my own thoughts, you can't tell me what to do. Who are you following? Who are you being filled up with? So this whole idea, don't confuse yourself and make it more spiritual, which is just spooky and superstitious. Be honest about that. It's like, follow me on Twitter, right? Who are you being led by? Like if I was making films, let's say, and I was now a film director and a film producer, and I decided that, you know, I like the way Steven Spielberg does it, and so I'm going to look at his films, and I'm going to see how he does the picture angles, and I'm going to see how he develops camera shots a certain way. I'm following after Steven Spielberg, get it? He is leading me through my career path, because I'm following what he was doing. You say, well, I'm not following anybody. You're following the devil. Because it says, if you live by the flesh, you will die. I mean, spiritually, you're not doing the right thing. You see, there is no, well, I'm just kind of doing my own thing right now. You are on the wrong path. Because you're following yourself. And if you choose you, you choose the devil. You're not the devil, but the fact of the matter is that you're either in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. And which way is leading you? What are you following? Right? University of Miami jersey. Of course I was going there. So you know the schedule better than I do. I know Danny Werfel, University of Florida, thank God, is in the hospital, right? But you might not know it. We have a Broncos jersey here. So you know better than I do whether Tim Tebow, former Gator, is going to be starting or if it's going to be Kyle Orton this year. And you say, wow, why do you even know that? Because I follow football. When I watch ESPN, which is never these days, but if I did, I'm looking for the football scores, not the horse racing, because I don't care about horse racing, right? Or if you like NASCAR, you're following what's happened with Kyle Busch or something. I'm acting like I know a lot about sports. I thought I got rid of all that. But the point is what's leading you is what you're walking with, what you're following, what you will be filled up with. Now, I realize you have a career, and so, you know, you drive trucks, you got to know about truck driving, you got to know Route 40 is horrible, and all this other stuff. Okay. But I'm talking about spiritually speaking, what are you following? What is filling you up? What is influencing you? What are you, when we're walking with Jesus, can two be agreed except they walk together? So don't be confused by those terms. If that helps you, say amen. I thought so. But here we got this crying into our heart, Abba Father, and then it talks about us crying out, Abba Father. And so we're led by the Spirit of God. So we think, oh, Lord, I'm just going to pray and then magically delicious. I'm telling you something, the best prayers have legs. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 21:31? This isn't in your notes, but the truth is, it says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory or safety or security or deliverance, whatever you want to say there, is of the Lord. But the horse is prepared against the day of battle. You don't trust in that. You trust in the Lord. And all your ways acknowledge him, but that means you got to have some ways. But who's leading that? If I thought that the gold standard was a good way, I'd be backing candidates for the gold standard. I'd be led to vote for them. If I thought that the fair or flat tax was the right way to go, I'd be following candidates to do that. I'd be led to vote for them. Right? See what I mean? Does that help you? And see, there's more than just led or walk. There's full of. I mean, you're really into this thing. Like, I know this certain policy is really going to be what helps America. They're full of that. Look at the candidates. They're full of something. But look what it says here. See, it gives you markers about adoption. That's what we're going to get into. Still got plenty of time. Praise the Lord. It says, if you are debtor, you're not debtors to the flesh, verse 12, Romans 8, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, always the spirit is opposed to the flesh, the way God wants it done. And how do we know how God wants it done? By a little voice that says, ooh, do this. Let me tell you something. If you don't read your Bible, don't know your Bible, you wouldn't know his voice anyway. How do you know what he sounds like? But if you do know that, then when he does make these little impressions and things like that, and you go, and you say something, and you go, man, you just make me sick. And then God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I start thinking, oops. You know, poison on your lips, venom in your heart. You start saying, well, I got to be a little bit nicer about this. This guy may be all ridiculous right now, but I can't let myself get ridiculous because he's ridiculous. How are we going to do that? Who am I following after? The ridiculousness or the righteousness? Which way am I trying to lead the person? Duh. Right? I can look at everybody, so you guys just back off. Point is, who are you being led by? Who are you being led by? And the Bible says that those are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. And let's see, what is the Holy Spirit's masterpiece? I'm holding it in my right hand. It's the Word of God. The sons of God are led by the Word of God. And if you're not, I just can't understand it. You need to get up and learn how to walk. How can you tell me you don't understand and tell me you know better what's for your life than the Bible does? You can't do it. Look at verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You see, it is an encouragement. You're adopted, and you don't have to fear. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. Why fear them that can kill the body when you have to fear him who can take the soul? But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And then it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And then, of course, there's that little bit about suffering there. The doctrine of adoption helps us to be able to clear up some confusion about the terms, like the illustration I just gave you. The question is, what are we full of? What are we trying to fill ourselves with? You see, people want to be full of the Spirit, they just don't want to experience the filling. Know what I'm saying? Because people think, oh, whoa, I'm full. You know, there's times like that, sure. But I would rather point you to where it talks about the filling of the Spirit in practical terms in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Maybe we should just go ahead and go there real quick. Let's just go there real quick. Anybody with me? If you think this is boring, man, I got news for you. Verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, whereas debauchery, but be filled means be being filled with the Spirit. And then it says, what are some of the indicatives of that? Or the imperatives, however you want to look at it. What is going to be happening? What should you be doing? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks, and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, going back to Romans 8:14, where if you're led by the Spirit, who are the sons of God? Who are the sons of God? Those that are led by the Spirit, exactly. That's what it says. Clear on that, right? And what does it say in verse 14? We're led to not live for the flesh. What about verse 15? We're led not to be a slave of sin and of fear. How about verse 16 through 18? We are led through suffering. Did you realize that? Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow. Philippians 1:29 says we're called not only to believe but also to suffer for his name's sake. Ouch. Look at verse 23 back in Romans chapter 8. It says not only the creation, because it talks about the creation groaning. We ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. These are spiritual people. These are people that are being led by the Spirit of God. What happens? We groan inwardly as we eagerly await the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. Believers groan. In other words, we're disturbed by the effects of sin on ourselves, on others, and on the world itself. It's like you groan for your children. Inwardly, you don't just go, ugh. But inside, you're under the weight of that. You're like, I wish they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish they would get a job. I wish this, I wish that. I'm groaning under that. It's a weight to me. This is Father's Day. Does anybody have that weight? Do you understand that? The Bible says that we groan inside of ourselves because we have the Spirit. And we're waiting for what? The redemption of our bodies. When there is no more sin. But right now, no matter how well it is going with you and how spiritual you are and how, you know, you're ministering well and all that, you know there's still more to do. You're waiting. Oh, God, I can't wait till you come back. It's going to be a one... When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Our hearts long for the coming kingdom and our glorified bodies. Our cry becomes the same cry as Christ. In Mark 14:36, He said, Abba, Father. Doesn't mean daddy, by the way. It means Abba, Father, Father, Father. If this cup could pass, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So you're down there in the dumps. It seems like everything around you is fear. You want to go back to indulging your old sins. The Spirit inside you is groaning and saying, Abba, Father, I'm getting tired of this. Lord, I want this to be over. Lord God Almighty. And you're being led to do the right thing. And you may have to suffer like Christ suffered. Christ didn't sin, but the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:1 that let this mind be in you which was in Christ, that he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, did Christ suffer in the flesh? Yes. But did he ever sin? No. Who's that talking about? You. Let this mind be in you. And so you think, I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody helping me. I don't understand what's going on. Or this job is so tough. My marriage is tough. I just don't seem to be able to get a handle on this. The Spirit within you, if you're being led by the Spirit of God, is saying, you're going to have to suffer this, but when you get to the other side, it will be worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to die to the flesh and live to the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? Is the Spirit witnessing to you? Do you groan just inwardly on your own, like, oh? Or is it something real? God, help me. I want to be better. I want to do what you want me to do. I know that I'm safe, and so I can swing for the fence. Help me get back up to the plate. I dropped the football, but I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to run it with it because you've already scored the touchdown. Which way are you going? If you say that just, well, you know, I'm not really following God right now. I'm just kind of doing my own thing right now. Friend, that road does not lead to the family home in heaven. You see, adoption, the doctrine of adoption is the missing link that people don't talk about in Christianity. It answers the question of whether someone's a real believer, a make-believer, or simply an unbeliever. It is a Christian, here's why. It is a Christian's adoption in Christ that holds together the categories of justification and sanctification. If you are justified, if you have been declared righteous in Christ, you will start living that way, period. Doesn't mean you don't fail, because you're justified. You'll still saved. But if there's no fruit, then there's no root. And adoption is the proof of that. It holds together, because if you're adopted into the family, you'll start taking on the family traits. Again, it's a Christian's adoption. It's this doctrine of adoption that holds sanctification and justification together. You know what those mean? Justification, you know, Lord, forgive, God, forgive my sins based on the blood of Christ. You know, He justifies you. He sent His Spirit in your heart. Sanctification means He moves you along in grace. If your destination is heaven, then your destiny, the road, is holiness. Some of you got it, you think you're on the road and you just fell down a little bit, but you never get back. You don't even care where you are. You don't stand still in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. All I have to know is adoption. I mean, I think of our friends, Jason and Nicole, and they went through all this stuff to get Scotty. And Scotty had a lot of issues. And yet now, Scotty made the honor roll. Scotty has stability. The gospel is alive and well in the Howard home. And there's other Howards and other families paying attention to that, how wonderful that is. And why? Because there's nurture there. But they can't impart a new nature, but God does impart a new nature. And so it will do something. You won't just be using the Christian cliches. You won't just be able to say what the Bible says and not mean it in your heart. Something will change. What I'm trying to say to some of you is you're probably not saved. Plead with God. God, forgive me for my sins. Change my life. Cleanse me. It helps us to understand that Christianity is not just facts in the head, but faith in the heart. And that faith produces fruit by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption. All who believe are made sons of God and partakers of the divine nature. And we start taking on the family characteristics. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. And then stay there, and we'll go into 1 John chapter 2. Now I could get real vicious and go into past verse 3, but I'll just read verses 1 through 3, and all the preachers here know where I'm going with this deal. Because if you're saved, I'm telling you, things will change. It doesn't mean you live perfectly, but if you're adopted, look, if I'm adopted into the Chambers household, I know where I'm going for dinner that evening. I know what's going to feed me. I know where I'm going to be led, right? Let me tell you something, even if I got drunk and I was driving down the road, I would still know which house I need to get to, even if I don't know the way to get to there right now. Because that's the family that I belong to. So sometimes we trip, and we fall, we do these things, but are we on our way back or not? Adoption says, I'm secure, I can come back. 1 John chapter 3 says, see what kind of love the Father, it's Father's Day, amen? The Father has given to us that we should be called, there it is, the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone, some of the people, some of the time, somebody, everyone who hopes, who thus hopes in Him, that's Jesus, that He's coming back, that will be like Him, that God has made us His Son, purifies Himself as He is pure. It means you make an attempt. And I'm not saying do this and live because we can't do it. We're saying Jesus did this, that's why we live. And if you're not living, then there's proof. Living proof. Again, natural adoption provides nurture, but it doesn't impart a new nature. However, with God, we receive a new nature. Let me ask you a question. You're doing bad. You're not doing so good. You know, oh boy, if they knew what kind of sin I'm in right now, but are you at least disgusted with it? Are you at least wanting to change? Are you coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, that's the Spirit of God leading you. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I'm trying to give you comfort today, but I'm trying to give you conviction today. Amen. See, it's both. As children of God, we have family privileges. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, one with Christ, one with each other. All that are Christ Jesus have been baptized by one Spirit into one body and been made to drink into one Spirit. And the spiritual gifts are wonderful things. We have this adoption waiting for us, the full adoption. But we also have responsibilities. Let me just read some more scripture here because we got some time. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Who are you following after? Who are you walking by? Who are you being filled with? And walk in love. Hello, tells you right there. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In our mission statement at the top of our bulletin, it's in there. Philippians 2:15. Let me read verse 14 as well. It says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Wow. Sermon right there. Sermon series. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted world, generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And here's our little things we gave away today. Men who walk with God, light the way. Now, God may be way out ahead of you right now, and you need to catch up a little bit. Draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. So you may be at the back of the parade in a sense, but are you going the way that He's walking? is the light on? Are you hearing me? Now, we were in 1 John. Let's turn back to chapter 2. I write to you, fathers. That's in verse 14, but now look at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And we see that so much as this imperative. You better do this, buddy, or you're out. The doctrine of adoption says you will do this because you're in. There's your marker there. Hmm. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. You see, you believe because you're born again. Did you realize that? Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Again, we have new privileges, but we have new responsibilities. What's one of the responsibilities? Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? It's anybody. Not everybody's your brother. Those that are in Christ are your brothers, but everybody's your neighbor. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, we're to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Someone that says that he loves Jesus, who he has not seen, yet hate his brother, who he has seen, the love of God is not in him. So, what kind of characteristics, what kind of things are happening? Well, we have new privileges. We have new responsibilities, and we have new discipline, because the Father disciplines those that are His. Taken from Proverbs chapter 3 is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. God spanks you, not to punish you, but to discipline you. You guys need to learn the lesson, and I need to maybe teach it, the difference between pruning, John 15, and chastisement, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as what? See, there it is again. You can find this everywhere. Sons, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved, exposed by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. If you're adopted, you are received into that family. Get that? And so if you're received into that family, will you have to be disciplined? People say, oh, this is punished. No, it means training. 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 Your little baby or your grandbaby, you take the training wheels off and they ride the bike. And of course, what do they do the first time? They drive, ride until they what? They skin their knee. They fall down. They look back at you and go, ah! Now, do you hate them? Did you mean this to punish them? Or are you training them? They think it's the end of the world. They cry out, Abba, Father! Right? Help me! But you're leading them as a good and righteous father. And you say, son, you can do it. Maybe help them out a little bit. Maybe put one training wheel on. Maybe go a little ways. Maybe just say, get in there! Like my dad threw me in the pool when I was 7, and that was it. I learned how to drive a stick on I-4 at 5 o'clock Friday. Yeah. Dad gets out, says, drive the car. It worked. I think it stunted my growth, but anyway. At least one way. Point is, right then they think it's awful. And no discipline seems good at the moment, but it works a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Peace, fruitfulness, righteousness to those that are trained. The part is how you respond. He doesn't say it feels good now, but it's not punishment, it's training. You're not punishing that child. You're saying, do it again, do it again, do it again. When you're 16, that child sees that discipline as a good thing. Because why? Because they want to drive that car. Isn't that right, Alex? You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, do it, do it. Man, don't let him drive. Do it, do it, do it. And then eventually, rah, rah. It's like, can I go on a date? You know? Right? You see the end from the beginning. That's the way that the Spirit is leading you. But there is discipline involved. It is training. I don't care if your kid is a perfect little man or woman or whatever. If you don't get them to do some things they don't want to do, they're always going to go the way they want to go, and they will find the wrong way because that's natural. You've got to train them. But when we're adopted, We have new privileges. We have new responsibilities, and we have new discipline. All those verses we went through had sons in them and fathers in them, right? To know and embrace these is to enter into the fullness of vital Christian living. Again, this is so central. Adoption is so central to God's redemptive plan that even the final glorification of the entire cosmos is bound up with it. Look at verse 19 through 22 back in Romans, and we're closing now. 19 through 22. It says, "For the creation waits for the eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." This means in the final instance when people, you know, get their full adoption, the full bodies, there's a new heavens, there's a new earth. It says, "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now." The fall of man affected everything. The entire cosmos has also suffered the calamity of corruption. Creation is personified here as waiting for a future time of fulfillment. I can give you lots of verses, but let me close on you. Are you following your new nature? Do you have one? If you have one, there will be some following because you'll be in the household. Or he'll discipline you to say, "Look, I told you to come in at 9 o'clock, not 9:30. Spank, spank. Training you because boogeyman comes out at 9:30 or for whatever reason, God knows better than we do. None of the discipline seems good right now, but it trains us and yields peaceable fruit. Who needs some peace in their life? Sometimes you have to suffer. Sometimes God is leading you that way. We think, oh, he's leading us on to glory. Yes, but it's a triumphal procession where we are prisoners of Christ. And sometimes that means pain. Sometimes that means poverty. Sometimes that means problems. But when we're adopted, we know we're going to get there. Amen? God assigned the family papers. What are you most influenced by? What are you consumed with? You know, whatever you consume has a tendency to consume you. Are you one of the children of God? If you're adopted, you are secure. But if you're adopted, you'll also act like one of the family. So I think we need to do business. And when God brings forth his word in such a way, even through a flawed man, the point is it's the Spirit leading us to himself. And so I don't want to hear, "I don't know much Bible." Learn a little more. Do the note part that you know. Get involved a little bit. "I don't really have time for that." Yes, you do. What you're saying is, "I won't make time for that." It's not saying that, you know, you have to be at church and be on your knees and be giving all this stuff. That's not the point. The point is, when the chips are down, who are you looking to? Are you saying, "God isn't real?" Or, "God, what's the deal? Abba, Father," like the little child on the bicycle. And he says, "Come on, what is this?" And then dad says, "Son, you have to learn to do this." Because the father knows he's got to take the training wheels off because he's got to learn to ride the bike so that he can learn to ride a car, to drive a car, so he can learn to fly the plane, so he can learn to be the astronaut. But that little boy on that playground, if he never gets past the training cycle, he'll never fly. And so some of you do have the Spirit of God, but you're not walking with him. And when he disciplines, you think, "I'm turning my back from God." It doesn't feel good for now, but he's trying to turn you around. And I'm telling you, the longer you wait, the louder he has to get, and then people have to know. And then we got to come talk to you. Say, "Come on." But then are we just going to turn back and follow the flesh? Are we going to follow the Spirit of God? Which way? What is leading you? Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Adoption is the only option.